Holy Cross Church in the little village of Karpasha, Cyprus, is one of the most unusual places of prayer I've ever visited. Situated on the northern part of the island, occupied by Turkish troops since 1974, Karpasha is one of four remaining villages belonging to the Maronites, the largest Catholic community in Cyprus. Their ancestors migrated over from Lebanon and Syria during the Middle Ages, and the Maronite culture and religious traditions have maintained a significant presence on the island ever since. Today, however, less than a dozen people live in the once thriving village of Karpasha, while the nearby village of Asomatos counts only one nearly 90-year-old inhabitant. Visitors and family members are allowed across from the Greek side for 3 hours on Sunday, or with special passes to accompany visiting delegations, like the one I was travelling with from the Council of European Bishops' Conferences. When visitors arrive along the narrow, dusty road that winds up into the Pentadactylos, or five-fingered mountain range, the bell of Holy Cross Church rings out and the inhabitants gather to welcome their guests. Inside the tiny church is a beautiful painted wooden crucifix, which miraculously survived both the bombings and the looting that destroyed a large part of the cultural heritage in this region. One by one, the visitors step up to the altar to venerate this precious icon, a poignant symbol of their own suffering and persecution down the centuries. Though fluent Greek speakers, the Maronites still use an ancient Aramaic dialect for their liturgy, a language which could disappear altogether unless some younger people are persuaded to return to these isolated villages.
We're a minority on the verge of extinction, and if nothing is done to avoid the extinction, biologically people are old, no young people. It will arrive to an end.
Among the most passionate defenders of this ancient culture is Dr. Petros Katsioloudis, who helps run a website called karpasha.com. He grew up in the village before going abroad to train as a doctor and now works at a hospital in Nicosia. He regularly returns to Karpasha to look after those in need of medical care and works tirelessly to preserve the history of his Maronite community.
The history is a very old history. The village is dated since the 9th, 10th century, since the arrival from the Middle East, from the Syria Magna, of the refugees of that time. After the Arab persecutions, they arrived in Cyprus, and they stayed in this area, or the area of the Pentadactylos Mountain. And Karpasha was one of the village of the first villages that was inhabited upon the arrival of those refugees from the Middle East.
You, your family have been here for many years, have they?
Yes, I was born here. My parents live here. And I had to go away to study. I went abroad, studied medicine, and then I came back to my island. And I came once a week or more to take care of the old people here if somebody is sick or something. So I come once in a while.
You were here in 1974,
weren't
you?
Yes, I was 4 years old at that time. And the times were, let's say, a little bit difficult. But we stayed here for 7 years until 1981. I finished elementary school, and then I had to go to the high school. So we had to leave, and then I went abroad to study. And at that time, during that period, it was very difficult because we were allowed to come back twice or thrice a year. So you can imagine the difficulties. But since 2004, since the, let's say, the borders, the frontiers were open, the situation is much more easier now. But unfortunately, people, very few people are left here, about 10 to 12 people, very old people, let's say older than 78 years old. You can imagine that is a biological extinction. We cannot come back, unfortunately, it's difficult. So you can imagine our drama, it's a tragedy, let's say.
It's a very emotional scene when you have people coming across.
Yes,
here.
It's a rare, let's say, occasion. Rare occasions, people come. Sometimes Europe parliamentarians come from the European Union and visit. Very few people, though, they don't often come back to visit us, let's say.
What about the church here? It contains one of the oldest icons,
yes,
doesn't it, on Cyprus?
Yes, we have, let's say, two crosses. The church is dedicated to the Holy Cross. The first one that you see over there, it's dated since the 17th century. And the other one, I think, 15th, and the other one, 17th century. They are both Byzantine, style. The first one, original Byzantine. The other one is Cypriot Byzantine variety. And also have other icons, and also frescoes. This is Archangel Michael, dedicated to Archangel Michael. It's a very old church, but it's one of the few villages that have remained Maronite for Catholic, for many centuries, since the 8th century AD till today.
What kind of relationships? You say there are very few old people living here. Do they have contact with their Turkish neighbours here at all?
Yes, we do have, because the villages nearby were mixed villages. They are made up from Turkish Cypriots and Greek Cypriots. So we used to have excellent relationship with our neighbors, and we still do. But as time goes by and people are getting older and older, you can imagine, even though we have good relationship, since nobody can come back, there is no, there is no future for us, because these people will gradually die. And I don't know if they will let us come back and live to our ancestral land.
What are your hopes? What is your wish for
our
this
wish
village?
Is to come back to give life to our villages. And we're trying through this, through our church, through our political leaders, through the Vatican, to let us come back, because we're a minority on the verge of extinction. And if nothing is done to avoid the extinction, biologically, people are old, knowing young people, it will arrive to an end,
What kind of support do you hope to receive from abroad? I mean, people don't seem to be that interested in the Cyprus question.
Fortunately,
anymore.
Upon the arrival of the Holy Father on the island last year, it was a great opportunity, and it put into international, view our problem, our existence, because nobody knew that there are a few Catholic people living in Cyprus. Four of the villages, all of our villages are here. And fortunately, this brought our minority to existence, because people know now, through the arrival of the Holy Father and through the publicity, that was given to us through the arrival of the Holy Father, people are starting to know about us. And this is good, because now they're taking into consideration, they consider us, alive, that we exist. Before, nothing was possible. They thought just a few thousand people, 5,000-6,000 people, without any, but we are part of this island, we are part of this, of the history of this island, we contribute to this island, to build this island, to build a democracy. We suffered through the many years of persecution, from the Arab persecution, into the Holy Land, through the persecution of the Ottoman Empire here. Most of our, ancestors are converted to Islam because they had no choice. So you can imagine, when the British arrived at the island in the 19th century, 1,000 people only remain in the island. You can imagine, and we're still fighting to survive. And I think we have the right to remain to our ancestral land. We have the right to come back and live once again to these villages. These villages are the nucleus, the core of our existence, because here's the place where we are born, our ancestors are born, and we live too long to lose it so suddenly. We live here for over 12 centuries.
This village is open, people can come here. There are other villages which are closed, aren't they?
Yes, unfortunately, half of the, houses of the village are inhabited by military and their families. But they're not trouble, they're good people, they treat us well, they respect us, we have no problem. But we apply it so that they can be allocated elsewhere, so the original, inhabitants of it can come back and once again live in their houses and once again give life to their houses. We just want to live, to co-live, coexist with our neighbors. We have no problem with our Muslim neighbors. We have no problem with our Orthodox neighbor. We have no problem with anybody. We just want to live in peace. And this is our message. And we want to exist and to keep to our tradition, because our tradition is very old. The Maronite tradition is a very old Oriental tradition. It's part of the Oriental churches. You just know it better than me. And we wish to keep it as such. We are a little bit different, but difference and diversity is a good thing towards evolution, because if you have all people are equal, this brings to, let's say, a dead end. In biology, the same thing. When you have inbreeding, all the things become equal. That is death. So you can imagine the same in societies and in, let's say, the same happens everywhere. So we are trying to maintain our diversity and have respect for our diversity. And I wish people can understand this. The international community can have a glance to our situation. We don't want any war. We don't, let's say, complain. We don't say that it's the fault of the one or the other. We are not interested in politics. We just want to live in peace. This is our message.
My thanks there to Dr. Petros Katsioulidis, who helps to run the website karpatia.com.